Okay.
So, who's doing our intro?
Jane.
Right, hello folks, here we are, number two.
Hey, howdy.
It's been a wee bit of a struggle. I struggled there trying to get on with the Zoom, and I know I'm not alone, but that was...
Well, you are alone, because we were all here. You are
Paul
alone.
Paul struggled a wee bit. Paul, well, I'm alone, but...
That's for sure. But, you know, it's... We're here now. We're all here now.
It's all comfortable now.
Nobody...
David's here. David's recording, doing everything. He's doing everything. Setting it up.
So, Jane, episode two, what's it called?
Well, it's called Toe in the Water, or Toe in the Water, depends where you live. Toe in the
Water.
Because, well, that's us creeping out like a wee tortoise, popping his wee head into the world just to see. We can't do much. We can meet in the park, as long as it's not more than eight in Scotland, and it's two families. And we can go to a garden centre, and wait till I tell you, this morning, I tried to go to the dump. I can't tell you how excited I was.
To go for a dump?
to go to the dump.
That'll pass, you know what I mean?
And it was all wood, full of beasts and everything in the car, and I got there... The woman, she was awful, awful kind, and she sent me away. She said, only stuff in black bags. It took me 45 minutes to pack the car, and I've had to unpack it all this morning.
Did you say it was full of beef?
Beasts!
Oh, beasts. Beasties. Right, beef.
10 weeks it's been lying down the lane in my back.
Caterpillar.
Oh, Basil. Well, yesterday I thought Basil had died. It was tragic. He was awful still. I think he was just maybe in a deep sleep. But he hasn't grown a millimetre since last week. And David Goodall had him dead and buried in 3 days.
Well, he's not moving, is he?
He moved a wee bit when I tickled him, David.
It's not really an upbeat update, is it? He's not moved an inch and he hasn't grown at all.
I said he hasn't grown. Well, he's grown. I don't even think he's grown at all. He hasn't grown.
This is rubbish.
Have you measured him at all?
Well, I measured him. I said he was the length of my pinky nail, but then actually I broke my pinky nail when I was loading everything into the dump. So I can't even use that official measure. Yeah, no.
For sure.
Well, listen, Mr. Riley, actually, man of wisdom, is there something that you're saying I've been dying to do?
Well, I've been with the builders for the past kind of fortnight or something, and it looks like we're a bit of luck. We're a day from finishing the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
So I'm looking forward to no hearing an angle grinder every 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? and getting that job done and dusted. But the builder of the day said to me, the brickies are in now. And he said to me a funny thing this afternoon. He went, so the guy comes around the corner, he's got a ladder, he's got a bucket with water in it and a squeegee. And the builder says to me, he's going to clean the windies. It's like,
threatening.
I'm away to put the kettle on.
Well, Paul, it's not necessarily the case because...
Well, we know.
We were filming Still Game, David. I don't know if you know this story. Right. And Paul really went, McGarry, Coxie, come and see this. And on his phone, he's got one of those cameras at your doorbell that you can see if somebody's at your door. He'd had an Amazon delivery... A guy kidding on to be a window cleaner with said bucket and squeegee was at his door and stole his Amazon package, and we saw him doing it live on his phone.
On same security camera, I went to deliver Paul a birthday present, remember?
I
went up on the Sunday and I knew it would ring and it would contact his email. He was away, and I went in and I put the package in the bit, and I knew it would have gone, so I was giving the Vicky to the camera, and I get back home and Paul sent me a thing, said, Coxie, what have you done? And he sent me a screenshot of the police on his drive. Some of the neighbours had phoned the police and they think there was a wrong. when I was young, when a skip arrived in the scheme, it was like, oh, it was like a wedding day, the excitement, a skip getting dropped off.
I know.
What are you going to throw in it? What are you going to pull out of it? It's fantastic, a skip.
I'll maybe come over to your lane tonight, though, Paul.
Skip's away.
The skip's gone.
Skip's away.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Skip's gone.
It's just a cement mixer.
I've got an interesting school question for the week. It's one from overseas, actually. Quite interesting, I thought it was.
Very good.
So it goes like this. What's the question mark? Don't keep us in the dark. What's the question mark? David Luiz has now taken over his late father's company in Mexico. They export 300 kilos of goods per month every year. All went well for 9 months of the year, but the last 3 months they had some issues. In October, they lost 50% of the 300 kilos at the Mexico-US border.
Right?
Oh my
November,
God.
They lost 70% of the 300 kilos after a speedboat began taking on water. In December, they lost 100% of the 300 kilos after a three-hour gun battle with a rival cartel.
Right.
How many kilos made it to the distributors?
That's a very good question.
That is a belter.
That's good.
Is that from Joseph's homework, yeah?
That was a kind of a continental question, that
That's
one.
Very good.
Yeah, all went well for 9 months, but the last 3 months, 50% of the 300 kilos were lost, 70% of the 300 kilos were lost, and then 100% of the 300 kilos. Somebody's going to have to pay for that. I think you know what I'm talking about. It'd be all right with David Luiz. It's that kind of business. Somebody'll get their wages docked, no doubt.
That's just season three of Ozark.
Yeah.
I think I could be wrong. We've discussed O-grade maths. I think the answer is 3,060.
We'll move on, shall we?
Yes, move on.
Here's a thing for you. What was your first television job?
Oh,
that's a good question. Cox.
Was it Songs of Praise, Coxie?
Oh, was it Songs of... I'd love to have been in Songs of Praise with Harry Secombe singing. Oh, anyway, it was Parahandy with Gregor Fisher, and I went to go to Rothsay for 3 days to film a wee scene. I'd only been to the arcades with my auntie and my ma at the very front, but actually over the back it's quite picturesque. Picturesque wasn't a word I used when I was 15, so going over the back there, it was beautiful. So that would have been 5 years ago.
There or thereabouts, aye. What about you, Jenny?
Well, it was 'tis the season to be jolly for Hogmanay. And I mean, I loved Rickie Fulton my whole life, and I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. And I was playing a dental nurse, and it was Jimmy Logan and was the dentist, and Rickie Fulton was coming in as I Am Jolly. And it truly was a real highlight of my life, actually, and I'm so glad that I got to do it. But what I didn't realise was they didn't really get on. So on the script, it said dental nurse turns up the gas and dentist holds a mask over Reverend I Am Jolly's face. So I did that, and Rickie Fulton was really struggling, and Jimmy Logan, now I don't know whether this was acting or not, Jimmy Logan held him down, and after that he was violently sick, and the whole thing was to stop filming for a couple of hours, and I was in the toilet greeting because I thought I would never work again. Only had two lines.
Somebody posted a photograph of you in that uniform the other day, didn't they?
No, that was Rab C. That was another nurse.
You played a nurse. I'm going to clap tonight for that performance alone at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, this was my first telly job, but it just, you reminded me there. They did a spin-off of McAvaney, Frank McAvaney, and Johnny played a whole half hour of McAvaney rather than three drop-ins. And we filmed in Victoria's Nightclub. Remember that?
Oh, aye.
And basically, it was the very last scene of the half hour, and Johnny dressed as McAvaney at the bar, and then is approached by McAvaney himself, and they have a couple of lines between each other. Just about to go, everything's all set. The guy who owns Victoria's comes in, points at Frank McAvaney, says, "He's barred, get him out of here." And we had to go into this negotiation with the man. You know, all the drinks, is all soft drinks and stuff like that, will be a half an hour tops, and right, half an hour you've got, and then get him out. And I was like,
remember the Tuxedo Princess?
Oh.
Remember the ship? You don't know how excited I was that the Tuxedo Princess was coming to Glasgow. I've never been so disappointed in a dancing in all my days.
That's right.
Terrible place.
It was like the Love Boat. I get robbed every month, remember?
Oh, it's awful sticky.
Oh, terribly sticky.
Well, my first telly job was, you know how you get those parts where the character you're meant to play doesn't even have a name?
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
I was student in garage in Tagalog.
Oh, I remember the student in garage.
And somebody put it on Twitter not that long ago, and I'd look about, I don't know, 12 or something like that, and it was myself and Blythe Duff and James McPherson. And many, many years later, in fact, the last series is still game, James, remember he came on to do this?
So he did, that's right.
But, and he said, oh, great to meet you. I said, no, James, I was student in garage. And he went, oh, that's
as if he remembered student garage. That was the best student in garage I've ever seen.
So, what about you, David Goodall?
Acting. My first TV part was interesting for me anyway. It was Puerto Rican Carjacker.
Ooh.
And
in garage.
In garage. And it was before health and safety was such a big thing. All we want is just the car skids to a halt and then the door opens and he rolls out, but kind of just as it's stopping. And then you'll fall on the gravel and then he'll jump on you and then he'll bite off your finger. Is a stunt guy driving? No, no, it'll all be fine. It'll all be fine. and it actually was. I mean, it's not a very good story because it was fine. The only thing that did happen was the character's jacket was exactly the same as my jacket, but it didn't have a proper inside pocket and I'd just bought a mobile phone and I was so happy with it. It was like a brick.
Yes.
But I had it with me and popped it into my inside pocket in my jacket. No inside pocket. Foam down, shattered on the floor. Very nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was good.
You say the student in garage and, I mean, that part of handy I did, I was man on hill, right? And, but then later on, like, talking in the theatre as well, we did, David Goodall and I did the Jungle Book up in Dundee. Was it Dundee Rep?
Well, we'll be there on the 12th and the 13th of April next year.
Hey, can't wait to go back.
Well
there.
Done, Paul Riley.
With what, Paul Riley?
Oh, well, we'll come back to Mark's story. There's no doubt about that. We're doing this show called Still Gone, everybody. It starts in March the 12th next year and goes right through to the 26th of April. And what we're going to do every week, folks, is we'll tell you one place that we're not going to this week. Because we'll go next year. And Dave, if you want to spin the wheel.
I've got a wheel here made up of old cards and a lazy Susan and some nails. So I shall spin that. Or what I might even do is, once we've finished this, I'll edit this and put on a spot effect of a spinning wheel. Here we go, folks.
It's Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
So, good people of the internet.
City of Discovery.
On the 6th of April 2021, we will be playing the Music Hall in Aberdeen, the three of us.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful venue.
On sale now, everybody.
On sale now.
Called it up on Wikipedia here.
Quite in-depth research.
Oh, yes. And largely accurate, I'm assured. So it's the third largest city in Scotland with a population of 196,670.
Fact check!
The population of Aberdeen is not 196, rather 196,000.
And not a lot of people know this, but it's twinned with Bulawayo in Zimbabwe.
Oh, fantastic. I've got a couple of facts about Aberdeen. Lennox Lewis, Annie Lennox, the singer. She was there. And interestingly enough, do you know who was born? I never knew he was Scotch. You remember Mr. Bronson for Grange Hill? Michael Sheard, remember with the wee glasses? And the moustache.
Was he the man that played Hitler in one of the Indiana Jones movies as well?
I think he was, and I think he may have been in Star Wars also. Aberdeen's fantastic. It's got a very wide main street, Union Street. Apart from Washington, D.C., streets in Washington, D.C., it's the only street where I've broken sweat crossing over it. It's so wide.
Mark and I did the Steamy quite a few years ago in Aberdeen, yes. And there was a lad working with us, and he was staying, I think it was a Travelodge, wasn't it? And Mark and I said, we're roundabout from that bit. So there was a whole group of us I'm not going to tell this story because it's going to sound bad. And it's not. Right, I'll tell you a wee story about Aberdeen that I looked up and I thought was interesting. The Press and Journal newspaper, first published in 1747 in Aberdeen, the longest running paper in the world.
With P&J.
What about that?
P&J is very famous.
They had a thing called the Free Passage. From Saturday night till Sunday morning, they were obliged to leave a free passage for salmon to swim upstream. And slayers of redfish or smokes of salmons the third time are punished with death.
Yes.
Oh. Those were the days.
Morning, the salmon.
I'll tell you a wee story about Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Well, Mark and I were up doing the steamy a good few years ago, and I don't know if anybody's seen the steamy. Oh, this is lovely, David. And one of the points of the Stevie is the character that I played had to take off enormous big knickers. So it was behind a sheet. Do you remember that, Mark? And it's a big comedy thing. Oh, Dolly takes off these
stop
big
reference, knickers. Stop referencing me in it. You need to just talk without me. Just tell the story without referencing me.
You did the Stevie.
And we'll forget that in a minute. Just that you did the Stevie. Tell the story again. No, it's a good story.
Okay. I'll tell you a wee story about Aberdeen. One of the horrors as an actor. It was the top of Act Two. It was a steamy at His Majesty's.
Oh, aye.
Full house.
Do you know I'm that boxy? That was a great wee sea shanty, David. Thank you.
That was the Northern Lights of Aberdeen.
The story ends in Jane having knee knickers on.
On stage!
So, Mark.
Yes, you're done. Dundee, you love Dundee.
Yeah, I was saying this. I love Dundee very much. I love it very much indeed. But when you do stuff like that and you're in a show and it's a big show and there's lots of people in it, so they say there's Baloo the Bear and then there's Shere Khan, but actually you're playing Father Wolf, Monkey Six, Villager Four, and like Gamekeeper Nine. Oh, it's terrible that.
Love it.
Soul destroying, really.
There was a toasty business going on during
there
that
was,
show.
There was, to which I contributed to.
Yes.
That's right.
I was in the pit playing the keyboards, and myself and Shere Khan shared a dressing room, and we just brought in four or five toasty machines, and we made toasties. I made them every night, and we sold them during the day.
Sold them. That's what we ate.
Shere Khan was on stage with a notebook, taking orders during the show. We did get a couple of questions from Michael J. Lamb, who's in New Zealand. He wants to know, what's keeping you all busy just now? Well, obviously, Jane's trying to find somewhere to take a dump.
Yes.
Well, as you boys know, I have been looking after my mum, who's 92. So I've been doing that at lunchtimes and tea time and most of the time in between because she's been quite muddled about everything. But earlier this week, my friend... I'd gone down and sat in her garden to sunbathe. And she said to mum, so my mum was perfectly fine with that. And then Karen phoned my mum to see how she was doing. And my mum said, oh, yes, Karen, yes, yes. She came down to sunbathe. Karen went, yeah, that was me, Jean. It was me that came down. Yes, she was in a bikini in my garden. Yes, that was me. Then she says, which is one of my favourite things of all time, and you know, she's married to a lovely man, but he's absolutely enormous. And then she says, he's much older than her. But then finishes it with, but they're happy. So Karen, I gave up saying, it's me. I just went, are they? That's lovely. Cheerio, Jean. So it's kind of hard going at times. But, you know, on we go. She's a good wee soul. She is, but it's, yeah, so I'm kind of busy doing that, to be honest, and kids and life.
I've been seeing Asda, and I've been going to my local garage, like Alan Partridge, and kind of got, you know, the guys in there, kind of hang about a wee bit, step back when people are passing me, but we have a bit of banter, you know. I ask them about the coffee machine, how often it's serviced, and things like that, you know, but... So I'm doing a bit of that, doing a bit of walking. My boy and cooking. I've been eating a lot of cooking. I don't cook.
And I made mince last night.
You made mince?
Aye, Gallus.
You made mince? How do you make? Mince is mince. You add stuff to it. You fry it.
Onions, carrots, stock.
Oh, so it's a mince surprise you made. It's got a carrot in it and an onion.
What? all mince has always had carrots and onions in it.
But you're old school.
There's one wee question here that I think that Jane was intrigued by. When you were the age of Winston, Tam and...
Isabel.
Isabel. When you're their age, what do you think is going to be your life?
I don't think it'll be vastly different.
Jane, if you're in your 80s and try to take a dump in people's skips, that's not good.
Imagine being my 80s trying to go into a Zoom or whatever it will be then. Man alive. But, you know, it all boils down to the basics, doesn't it? And I think being in the lockdown, and we've all kind of realised it is the basics. So having friends and family community around you, a bit very much like Still Game, I think it will be really the same, because your life does get smaller when you get older. And yeah, not for everybody, but for quite, depends on mobility, depends on the age. Obviously, my mum's in her 90s, so she's much, much older. But company, laughing, talking, everything I'll eat, everything I love to do now. The difference is with us that they're so innocent. Well, like my dad and all that, every time I took them to his bowls, they would always say, "Toss me off here then." And I'd go, "Ah!" And my mum always says to the boys as well, "Are you wearing a strap on instead of a seatbelt?" Now, I love that, because it's so sweet. And,
yeah.
And I think that we won't be like that.
You won't be referring to people by saying, "Oh, her, she's full of spunk."
Right. I sometimes wonder to the point where maybe I should get some sun on my back, and you know, like a Floridian, just see at the clock and some sunshine.
Yeah.
But then I think I would miss Glasgow too much.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, that, because my circumstances are different to all of yous. You know what I mean? I'm wearing an ankle tag as we speak, for a start. But you know, there's nae wains or anything, so I could probably do that. But I don't know.
You get fed up with that as well, though. I think the idea is you go and get sun, and I would like to not be wearing slacks and all that, polyester shirts. Imagine that in the sunshine, polyester, sweat running out, as if you're wearing a black bag.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think they're in fashion, though? Do they think they're in fashion?
I don't think they care. I think that we all go through this thing of worrying about everyone else's opinion, and you get to age where you say, "I actually don't care. I'm going to do what I want."
But that's the thing. I often think, will we actually dress like that? Will we not see any irony at all?
Mark, you're sitting just now on a couch wearing a vest. You're there already. Next podcast, is it true that we shall be five rather than four?
Oh, words out.
It's very exciting, that's right. Well, we've asked a special friend.
I've just realised what that means, Dave. Yes, it's true.
We've asked a very... Basil the Caterpillar will be joining us next week.
Yeah.
No, Matt Costello.
Yes, there Dave.
Stevie the Vicky will be on next week.
Next week, we're going to be joined by the genuinely lovely Matt Costello. If you have any questions for him, then just ping them in.
I'm going to do an impression of Matt. Well, that wasn't very good. I made a noise, really. But
also, folks, we hope to have a few more familiar faces coming in to say hello.
Not just from Still Game.
Paul's parole officer. I would like to hear their answers to Mark's school question.
What's the question, Mark?
Mine was 3060.
I'll be straight up honest with you, I didn't even understand the question, but I'll go 3065.
2840.
2840 is it? I get 2940.
No, well, you're wrong. It's 2840.
3600 minus 660 is 2940. Is this a recurring theme?
The question is asked. David Luiz, who now took over the company, has had to flee to the mountains in Guadalajara. Things change quick in that business. But that was a good question, and well done everybody that tried to get the answer, including myself, who was actually asked the answer and wrote the answer down wrong.
Work the answer out, Mark?
I worked out really, really quickly, and I'm really quite good at that kind of thing, truth be told. But I've confused myself, and I'm really sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
It's as well you're here, David Goodall.
Right, well, that's us finished this week. That's us finished talking. We've ran out of words. And we'll thank you for listening to this, our second episode of Three Doon, One Across. Please listen to the podcast and do subscribe. You'll find us at Twitter, 3 down, 1 across. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Smashing.
3 Down, 1 Across is an Osprey production. This episode was recorded remotely under Marquess of Queensbury rules and was produced at Sound Smooth Facilities.